This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. This is the time where we're asking you to pledge your support, become a member of the WKAR family. We know a lot of you out there have been listening to WKAR for many, many years, but you haven't picked up the phone and helped us during our fundraiser. So now is the time. So once again, give us a call at 353-5000, area code 517, if you want to give to WKAR. But right now, we're going to talk a little sports, and we're going to bring in our guest, Gary Gillette. Gary, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, Earl. How are you?
Okay, but it really bugs me, Gary, because, or I shouldn't say it bugs me, but it sort of blows my mind that so many people are saying Mike Trout should be a legitimate candidate. Of course, I'm from the old school, you know, and so I believe there's no doubt that Miguel Cabrera should be the MVP. But apparently, I guess a lot of people are thinking that Mike Trout should be, and he's still a rookie. I'd say just give him the Rookie of the Year and forget about it. But boy, does that surprise you at all that he's getting so much consideration?
It does surprise me that he's getting so much support. And that shows two things. It shows how the analytical element in baseball has really caught hold. You know, the first time that it became a big public thing with baseball analysis and sabermetrics was when Bill James was hired by the Red Sox in 2002 with the new ownership. And then the next big thing was the publication of Moneyball, Michael Lewis and Moneyball, which made Bill James into a hero. And, of course, the fact that the Athletics hadn't won anything after the publication of Moneyball until this year sort of took the, you know, put the damper on that, except that the Red Sox won two World Series. And then, of course, the movie was a huge hit, to my great surprise, because I couldn't see how a movie about baseball analysis, even with Brad Pitt, was going to be a big hit. Anyway, so... I'm surprised that it's gotten that far, but this is the power of Baseball Reference. BaseballReference.com is now the unofficial encyclopedia of baseball. A lot of their data, probably most of their baseball data, is licensed by me and my colleague Pete Palmer to them. But because they make it so accessible and it's updated every day, it's got huge reach. And the WAR stat wins above replacement player, which people are quoting in, to say Mike Trout deserves the MVP more than Cabrera, comes from them. There are other people who do wins above replacement with slightly different calculations. Baseball Prospectus made VORP, value over replacement player, which is, I believe, Keith Woolner's metric. They made that popular 10 years ago. Keith Woolner is now a key element in the Indians analytical department. So I'm surprised that so many people, because I go to BaseballReference.com, have paid attention to this. I don't think it's a bad stat. We have a different stat. Pete Palmer and I in our ESPN Baseball Encyclopedia, which is now out of print, we have a different stat. But I'm surprised that so many people, A, paid attention to it, and B, so many people get riled up about it. But I guess I wasn't counting on you, too, to be on the war path.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, I know stolen bases has always been a benchmark, but, you know, I thought, hey, somebody had to steal about close to 100 stolen bases for it to be a significant factor. But, he hasn't done that yet, been close to it. So, you know, I've always been an old school guy, so I just figure, hey, you win a triple crown, which hasn't been done since 1967. That's very unique. I just don't see how anybody can say someone else when Miguel Cabrera puts up such tremendous stats year in and year out and then finally wins a triple crown, he might, it's going to be a close vote. I can't even, to me, it shouldn't even be close. It just should be Miguel Cabrera, and that should be it.
But, you're going to have to shoot me. It's a good thing I'm not in the studio with you because you reach over and clock me, because I think voting for Trout makes a lot of sense. I don't have a vote. I'm not a member of the Baseball Writers Association of America.
Me neither.
If I had to vote, I would have a tough choice between Trout and Cabrera. But I have to say, the only reason that it's a tough choice for me is because the Tigers made the postseason. They won their division, and the Angels didn't make the postseason. If the Angels won their division, I'd vote for Trout hands down, even if Cabrera wins the Triple Crown. If the Angels make the postseason in the wild card, it's a little bit dicier because the wild card has been diluted with the second wild card this year, which is really not a postseason thing. The second wild card is a play-in to the postseason, not a play-off, in my view. And so, the way I look at it is this. Let's say Austin Jackson had Mike Trout stats, okay? Because he's perfectly capable of doing something like that in a couple years. Jackson is a hell of a player. Let's say he had Mike Trout stats, and let's say Albert Pujols, pretty fair hitter, right?
Yep.
Albert Pujols had Miguel Cabrera stats. The Tigers fans would be arguing that Mike Trout, Austin Jackson, would be the MVP. And that Pujols was just a one-dimensional slugger or a two-dimensional slugger. See, I think this is all home team bias. It's that Cabrera is a great slugger, but he is a third baseman and at best average. I actually think he's slightly worse than average this year, which, by the way, is a great accomplishment. I mean, at the start of the year, I was giving 40 games before Cabrera would have to be moved either to DH or first base, bumping Fielder to DH. The fact that Cabrera stuck it out all year and was not completely train wreck awful is a big testament to him. And as the year went on, he actually got better. I think he was slightly below average third baseman, which means that with more experience, he might be an average third baseman in the future. But Trout's a plus center fielder. There's a big defensive difference between center field and third base, and a plus center fielder is a lot more valuable than an average or slightly below average third baseman. I think that if the circumstances were reversed and the Angels fans were saying, no doubt Albert Pujols Triple Crown hands down, the Tigers fans would be screaming bloody murder because they'd give it to Austin Jackson if he had Mike Trout stats.
Wow. I guess I'm too old school, because if you win the Triple Crown, to me, you should be the MVP. I mean, it almost should be automatic. It happens so – it's such a rare occurrence, as you know. People don't win the Triple Crown, and to me, that's just too unique.
Well, the problem is that – that's right. People don't win Triple Crowns, which is why people don't understand. You know that there have only been, what, 9 Triple Crowns in baseball history, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has not been automatic that the Triple Crown winner wins the MVP. It's not automatic. In fact, I haven't looked it up, but I think only like 4 or 5 Triple Crown winners won the MVP. Now, that's a little bit deceptive because Ty Cobb won the Triple Crown before RBIs were an official stat and before there was an official MVP award. But I'll tell you what, I will email you after I get off the air with the results, because it is not axiomatic that the Triple Crown winner wins the MVP award.
Wow. Well, I guess we'll see there. But, well, let's talk about the Tigers. And
yeah, that's what I thought we were going to talk about.
Yes.
I didn't think you were going to cold cock me with the MVP argument. Of course, I'm just joking. I mean, this is what baseball is all about, is arguing about this stuff, right?
That's for sure. The Tigers made the playoffs after an inconsistent season, up and down, up and down. Do you think they can make it to the World Series, or has this season been so up and down that maybe it makes you a little hesitant on they can go any further?
The Tigers are not a great team, but they're a good team to succeed in the postseason. And we know why that is. That is, if Fister is on his game and Scherzer is on his game, that gives the Tigers 3 really fearsome pitchers. And if Sanchez pitches like he did at the end of the season, that gives them 4. At that point, they've got a real advantage. I think that the Tigers could easily go to the World Series again because of that. Now, I have to say, though, I'm not 100% on that scenario, because Sanchez had been erratic. Now, it could just look at his adjustment to the American League. A lot of people take time to adjust to a new league, and he has, 2 months in the American League, a little more than 2 months in the American League, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Fister has had some really astonishing starts, including setting that record for consecutive strikeouts, American League record, and including having some really horrid starts. Now, those horrid starts were excused away by muscle pulls and stuff like that, but that doesn't sort of make me feel real comfortable because he can get that kind of little tweak in his muscle at any time. And, of course, Scherzer drives me crazy because he is, when he's on his game, he is almost as good as Justin Verlander. When he's not in his game, he just looks completely wretched. And so I think that it's hard to tell. But in the postseason, you face really good hitting. The old saw is that good pitching defeats good hitting. Well, that's sort of true, but good hitting also defeats good pitching a lot of the time. And in the postseason, the hitters are better because the lineups are generally better. I think the Tigers, of course, are going to beat the Athletics. The Athletics were a really weak club that got hot right at the right they got hot at the right time. And those kinds of clubs sometimes can go all the way to the end. I mean, they can win the World Series. Let's look at the Cardinals last year, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, let's look at the 2006 Tigers, which was a not-that-good club that got hot at the right time in the playoffs. And they cruised through the Yankees, demolished the Athletics. And I remember people were saying Tigers in three in the World Series, joking around. And the Tigers got completely demolished. So, you know, of course, part of the beauty of baseball is impossible to predict. If it were possible to predict, it would be football.
Yeah.
But I just see the Tigers being a good team to upset better clubs in the long run, that is, better clubs over the season in the postseason. I also don't see them as a dominant team. If they win the World Series, they're going to be more like the 2011 Cardinals than the 2004 Red Sox, in my view.
Well, so I guess you could say they've got a chance that since they're in the playoffs now, and hopefully, you know, for the Tiger fans down in Detroit there, they'll be able to see a World Series, and that might get through. The Tigers, you know, might make it all the way there. But when you look at, I've always been fascinated by, you know, you get three hits out of 10, you know, you're considered successful. You're considered a pretty good hitter. You know, you're going to get out the rest of the times. Now, when you look at that from that standpoint, what do you see with the Tigers? Can Miguel Cabrera and Prince Fielder consistently hit like that? Or do they have these ups and downs that we see all during the year? Oh, I guess we lost him. So we'll have to get Gary Gillette back, and we'll talk a little bit more baseball with Gary, and then we'll head to our other guests. But right now, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. And we'll try to get back and chat a little bit more with Gary Gillette, talk a little baseball with him. We got Gary back. Hey, Gary. Okay, Gary. Sorry we lost
right,
you there.
So you're not going to cut me off next time just because I picked the wrong guy, are you?
Oh, no. No, we have these technical difficulties, as you know, from time to time. So when a guy hits 300, but they've been a 300 hitting club, they've been inconsistent for the most part of the year. How does that concern them, or do you look? Is it just that certain pitchers just are better for certain hitters and such? Will the Tigers, should the Tigers, I'm assuming the Tigers are going to, might sweep Oakland here, but then the next round will be a little bit tougher.
Well, the next round will be tougher with the Yankees, I'm confident. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's going to be tougher to the Orioles. Of course, if it's the Orioles, that means they beat the Yankees, right?
Yeah. So,
you know, because it's a short series, it really is almost a crapshoot. It is not. It is not a coin toss. A stronger team will have an advantage in the postseason. But as I said, certain teams are not built for the long haul because of certain anomalies in their lineup, rotation, roster, whatever, that they do very well in the short season. I think the Tigers are one of those. I don't know. I didn't hear the first part of your question because I got cut off, so I'm not sure specifically who you're referring to here.
Oh yeah, I was referring to you know, we have so many, basically just you know, in baseball, you know, you hit three times out of 10, you're successful, you're a 300 hitter,
right?
So therefore, you know, I was wondering, does that help? Does that help the hitters like the Tigers? I mean, does it help a Cabrera and them? even though they get out 7 times out of 10. I know most people don't look at it that way, but that's the reality. Because I've heard people saying they shouldn't ever pitch to Cabrera. They shouldn't pitch to the Tigers. Well, I'd say, hey, he gets out of 7 times out of 10. You're going to get him out. So yeah, why shouldn't you pitch to him?
Mm-hmm. You really don't get him out 7 times out of 10 because he also walks a ton.
Oh yeah, that's
right. You're really getting him out 6 times out of 10 at best. And the other thing, of course, is that getting him out 6 times out of 10 is one thing. Having him hit a home run with 2 runners on base is a lot different than a single. That is, getting him out if he just got a single or a walk would be, you know, if that were the other result. The problem is the other result 40 times a year is a home run, and a home run is devastating. I think the real issue in the postseason is when you have a team that has mediocre players who fatten up on rookies and inexperienced players. So, for example, veteran hitters who match up against inexperienced pitchers in the postseason, I think the hitters have the advantage. Now, it's not always true because generally the first time a team sees a pitcher, the advantage is with the pitcher. If you have unknown pitcher and unknown hitters, the advantage is with the pitcher. But if you have an inexperienced pitcher, especially a pitcher who, let's say, has good stuff but not great control, or a pitcher has control but not great stuff, I think experienced veteran major league hitters like Cabrera, like Fielder, really make mincemeat out of them. Now, the problem with the Tigers, of course, is Cabrera and Fielder is only two. They still got to put in Delman Young. They still got to put in Andy Dirks. Now, they have Jackson. They have Avila, who's a good hitter. I know he didn't have a great year, but he's a good hitter and didn't deserve the criticism he got this year. They have Peralta, who's a decent hitter, not as good as Tigers players think or Tigers fans think. But they've also got, you know, they have to play guys in left field, right field, DH, and at second base. You know, Infante has not been that good. The people now, would I rather have Infante than Ramon Santiago or Danny Wirth out there? Sure, I would. Of course I would. On the other hand, Infante has not been a plus player for them. The Tigers have serious holes. Their lineup is very focused in terms of very good production from a couple of slots, a few slots, and weak production from others. How that is going to stack up, I don't know. I mean, I think the Tigers are going to either sweep the Athletics or win convincingly in 4. If they run into the Orioles, I think they do well. They run into the Yankees, I think it's going to be a dogfight. Now, the Tigers have beat the Yankees twice in the postseason since 2006. That doesn't mean they're going to beat them again. I think Tigers fans are overconfident about a matchup with the Yankees. The Yankees are dangerous, and the Tigers could well end up going home. But I just don't know. I mean, this is very complicated stuff, and partly it's complicated because no one knew who was going to be in it till the last moment, right? I mean, the Tigers still don't know whether they're going to be facing the Yankees or the Orioles, and they didn't even know whether the Rangers, the defending AL champions, were going to be in it until the first day of the postseason. Yeah. Although it's really, like I said, the wild card game is really a play-in game, not a play-off game, and that means that it really was the last day of the regular season. But
okay, well, Gary, hey, it's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll have to get together and talk some more during the playoffs. We'll hear the MVP vote. Is that totally after all the playoffs end? Or
Right. The balloting by the baseball writers is conducted before the postseason. The ballots have to be mailed before the postseason. I don't think they do electronic balloting yet, but I'm not sure. But they never count the postseason. It's regular season only. Okay. And but they don't announce till mid-November.
Okay.
They do the Baseball Writers Association awards, the MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year awards. They're announced basically in mid-November. Okay. So and Earl, I will have in 5 minutes, I'll email you and send you the results of the MVP versus Triple Crown winner. They said there were nine Triple Crown winners in the American League, and I will tell you how many of those won. I haven't checked the National League, and as I said, the first Triple Crown winner, well, actually the second Triple Crown winner in the American League was Ty Cobb, but they didn't have RBIs in the official stat. There was no Triple Crown, and there was no MVP award back then. So,
Well, I'll be looking for that, Gary. Hey, thanks a lot, my friend.
Thanks, Earl.
And I'll be talking to you a little bit later.
Always a pleasure to
okay.
talk.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's Gary Gillette talking baseball with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Send us an email at sportstalk@wkar.org. Give us a call or talk sports with us. Right now, you can also call us at 353-5000, area code 517, to pledge your support to WKAR. Become a member of the WKAR family. But right now, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
You've got dinner table discussion, water cooler chat, even pillow talk. But how often are you part of the national conversation? I'm Neil Conan. Raise your voice on everything from the news of the day to the twists and turns of culture and history on Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather forecast. Partly sunny and windy with a high today in the low 60s. Tonight, the low 42 degrees with a good chance of rain. Wednesday will be partly sunny and windy, a slight chance of light showers tomorrow, the high 50 degrees, and windy and mostly sunny Thursday, the high 60.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. You can also call 353-5000 to register. We can't use that number now with the pledge going on, Aaron. So we'll have to call. People want to register for tickets. They'll have to call 517-432-9527 to register for tickets. So if you want to register for tickets for the Iowa game, call the other number right now because our other number is being used especially for our fundraiser and pledge. So if you want to give us a donation, call 353-5000, area code 517. You want to win tickets, call 432-9527. You can register for tickets to win to go to the Iowa game. Right now, let's go to the phones. We've got Michael from Saginaw. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? It was an impressive feat by Cabrera hitting for the Triple Crown. It was very impressive. Average home runs and right. RBIs. Well, what I got to ask you, since women's basketball is, are they practicing now? I read that in Free Press today.
Yes, they are.
Okay, then. Because I noticed that most of the teams for us, do the wrestling team have have something like the volleyball team and the hockey team? Do they have a scrimmage where everybody come and see them? And?
Yes, they have one. They have the MSU Open.
MSU Open.
Yeah, open. That's what they call the wrestling tournament, the open. It's an open tournament.
All right, man, I heard you on Tim Stout the other day talking about the Spartans and everything. Do you think by them missing they skill people like last year, this is just going to be a different team they have now?
Well, it's proven already. It's a different team, that's for sure. That's because, you know, they're trying to integrate these new players into the system. That's the thing. That's the thing in football, you know, you don't have a draft or anything. You just have to hope and work with the other players, and hopefully they get better. I think they're all good players, but it just takes, you know, we all learn at a different pace and a different level. So it's just going to take time for them, and hopefully they'll get it by the end of the season. Because right now, they got a little bit better in the last game against Indiana. They caught a few more passes.
Is Maxwell Arm good enough? Is it strong enough?
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it seems like his passes wobble when he released the ball and everything. So I guess I've been used to the quarterback who just, like Warren Moon, used to throw tight spirals and everything else, man. But what I was going to – I got to ask you this, though. Since the guy from NFL Films passed on, I think it's been 2 weeks now. What you remember about NFL Films mostly? Do you remember just the imagery of the ball firing from the quarterback hands to the receiver, or you remember them doing the line, the guys hitting on the line, or what?
All of it. I mean, the guys hitting on the line, the ball's going to the receivers, it was so well done. A lot of it, I remember especially how most of it was done in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And you got to see everything because it was done in slow motion. So that was really good to me. I really like watching the slow motion replays. That's what got me. And Steve Sable just did a great, great job with the films.
Because the way they said it to music and everything, it was just like a cinematic, a movie presentation and everything. And that really pulled me into the music of it. It's not, I'm not a big classical music person, but it was just nice just to hear them. You know, it just blended in with the action on the field and everything and how the imagery, especially in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s before everything, all the stadiums got all corporate and they wanted to make it look good for television. But it was really, really impressive. I miss him. I really do. I try to watch it every time, but I have other things to do. Okay. So I thought I'd just call you up, man. I wanted to talk to Gary about the ball players, because they, a lot of people call in on the talk shows and everything, and we know about the Tigers' defensive weaknesses and everything. I just wanted to ask them, is the talent is turning where they getting guys that are defensive backs that they try to make into baseball players or quarterbacks into baseball players? I just take it off the answer. Off the air, Earl. I appreciate you answering.
Okay, thank you. When you're drafting players, basically you're drafting players. You don't really draft them. They really have to be a very good defensive player to get drafted. Most of the time, you're drafting for guys who can hit home runs or hit singles or are better hitters. And of course, if they're a good defensive player, mostly that's a bonus, and that makes the players look good. So, if you're looking for quarterbacks and such, baseball, you know, baseball is so different from football. I mean, you can find great athletes in baseball. You don't have to be that strong. You don't have to be that big to play baseball. But you do have to be strong these days. But you don't have to be big in stature like you do to play in football. But if you're small and you're quick, everything is done. Basically, all sports have one thing in common: you got to have some speed. You got to be fast in all sports. If you're not fast, then you better make up with certain other attributes. Either you're a good defender, or either you're a great hitter, or a great fielder. But speed kills in just about every sport. Every coach will tell you, no matter what the sport is, the fast players are something they need. A player can cover more ground if he's an outfielder. He can cover more ground if he's a fast infielder. He can cover more ground as a shortstop. So you're always looking for fast players. Let's go back to the phones, and now let me tell you this: you can also call and register for our ticket giveaway, 884-4710, and that's for 884-4870 if you want to win tickets to the Michigan State Iowa game. 884-4870, area code 517, 884-4870 for the ticket giveaway. Call that number, 884-4870. For ticket giveaway right here on WKAR. Let's go back to the phones, and we got Kirk. Kirk, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, Earl. How are you?
Okay.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
First of all, I want to say your previous caller who brought up the thing about NFL films.
Yeah.
That was a great point to bring up. Quite frankly, if it wasn't for NFL films, I don't think we'd have half the stuff we have today in coverage of football.
Right.
You know, the miking up of players or things like that. That was always something I found amazing, that, you know, here you go and watch NFL films and you'd see coaches on the sidelines actually saying stuff and hearing what they were saying and things. And growing up as a kid and hearing that kind of stuff was just amazing to me. And it gave you just so much more of a feel for the game than just what you saw on the TV on any given day. Steve Sable really and truly was one of the great contributors to the game of football and where it's at in terms of becoming the national pastime in this country right now. I just don't think you can say enough. The other thing I wanted to call in and say is, I'm in your court this time, Earl. I'm with you in terms of Miguel Cabrera being the hands-down MVP.
To me, it shouldn't be any contest. It shouldn't even be a debate, in all honesty.
You know, I realize that there have been some times when an MVP has not – or a Triple Crown winner has not been an MVP. I understand Ted Williams won Triple Crown twice and wasn't an MVP either year.
Right.
Kind of thing. But by the same token, back in those days, Boston wasn't getting to the World Series or anything either.
True.
I also look at history and say the last player who was both Rookie of the Year and MVP was Fred Lynn.
Yep.
And Fred Lynn got Boston into the playoffs and into the World Series in 1975. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference there.
Yes, it is.
And, I hate to say this, because at one point in time in my life, I was a stats guy. But I have no idea what the heck WAR is. Wins after replacement.
Yeah.
Who replacing what? You know, Miguel Cabrera replaced someone at third base.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you count that? Who the heck did he replace at third base? You know, the fact that he moved from first base to third base and actually played pretty dang good in terms of defensively at third base. Was he defensively Brooks Robinson? No. But he played pretty dang good. He wasn't the liability a lot of people thought he would be.
Right.
Come on, give the guy a break here.
Yes. And to me, he just should be. I mean, so there haven't been many nominees and such for MVP. But the fact that Mike Trout is going to be the Rookie of the Year, he's got the Rookie of the Year. Why do you have to give him the MVP as well? I mean, I don't know why people would even vote. I mean, Gary surprised me when he said Trout would be his – he'd vote for him hands down. If they had gotten the playoffs, well, that's never been a requirement that you get in the playoffs to be eligible for any awards. You just have to – the regular season's so long, so you shouldn't have to make the playoffs to get some consideration for an MVP or any other award.
Yeah. I just think of all the things that Cabrera has done for the Tigers.
Sure.
And – while Mike Trout has had an outstanding year, I'm not taking anything away from him.
Mm-hmm.
He was also surrounded by an all-star team in many ways.
Yes, he was. They had a great lineup in Anaheim.
You know, I don't know. I don't understand it when people want to make the argument that Trout should get it. I just really don't understand it.
But. I don't either. I ignore that argument. And maybe that's unfair. I shouldn't do that. But, hey, Miguel Cabrera should get it hands down. It shouldn't even be an argument. That's my thought. It shouldn't even be an argument. Just give it to Cabrera, and if you want to let Trout be second, heck, he probably shouldn't even be second. But if you want to make him second, put him second.
Who do you think gets the American League Cy Young?
Boy, now that's a toughie because you got a couple of 20-game winners in the American League. If a 20-game winner doesn't get it, then, Verlander's got a good shot at it. But I'm thinking one of those 20-game winners should probably get it.
Yeah, me too. And I'm trying to figure out, Weaver versus Price.
Mm-hmm.
The Cy Young is kind of a goofy thing because you had, Felix Hernandez, who had barely over a .500 season, win it because the team he was on was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the same token, you also had Steve Carlton win it on an absolutely terrible Cardinals team at one point in time, but he was 25-6.
Yep.
You know, it seems to me if you're that dominant, you should still have a better than 2-game winning record.
Yeah, I would think, because the guy in Seattle, he was 14-14 the year he won it, but his ERA was so low. I mean, he just pitched great every time out, and I think you had to give him consideration just because his ERA was so low.
Yeah, yeah. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out, but now we have the postseason to get through first, and, of course, that for tonight it means, what inning will I fall asleep in the middle of before the game's over with. So
that's for sure. Hey, thanks a lot, Kirk, and we'll talk to you a little bit later on, buddy.
Take care, old
bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. And the time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, and let's see, 884-4870 is the line for getting tickets if you want to win tickets to the Iowa game, 884-4870, area code 517. Give that number a call, and you can win tickets to the MSU-Iowa game coming up on Saturday, which is homecoming. And if you want to contribute to WKAR, you can call 353-5000, 353-5000, and pledge your support. Become a member of the WKAR family. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Victor from Lyons. Victor, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Okay.
Well, I'm not registered for those tickets, but if I was, I'd have to borrow your car. I'd have to borrow your car to come pick up the tickets, and I'd have to go back home, and I'd have to borrow it again to go to the game and then come back. You know, which I think would be kind of cool. I mean, it'd be a great way to get to the ball game.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's true. That's
thank
true.
Thank God for radio. At least I'll be able to listen to it.
Yep. You listen to our good friend George Blah, because he's great.
You got that right.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. I agree with you about Cabrera. I can't even talk today.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. But I think he deserves the MVP. He had a great year, and I agree with the last caller that Cabrera did not do that bad a job at third base.
He did
what was required of him, and he was glad to move over. He lost all that weight
mm-hmm.
and got himself ready to play the position. So hats off to him.
Yes, he did a great job, and he was like you said, he was just adequate. He wasn't great at third, but he was passable. He did enough where it didn't cost the Lions. I mean, the Tigers too many games, so he did a good job.
He might have helped the Lions too if he decided he wanted to play.
Oh, that's for sure.
Hey, great talking to you. You have a great weekend. And okay. Go get them, Tigers.
Okay, thank you, Victor. And now let's bring in our next guest. First off, stay tuned for more sports talk after a short break from AM 870 WKAR.
To maintain a healthy discussion, we suggest a steady diet of Talk of the Nation. We'll nourish your brain with everything from cave diving to dolphin encounters, the rise of China, and the latest shenanigans on Capitol Hill. I'm Neil Conan, your daily recommended dose of news, conversation, and serendipity. Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Today will be windy and partly sunny with a high of 63 degrees. There's a good chance we'll get rain tonight. Look for a low of 42. Tomorrow, windy and partly sunny, a slight chance of light showers and a high of 50. Mostly sunny, windy, and a high of 60 on Thursday. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Michigan State-Iowa game at the end of Friday's show or at the end of Thursday's show. We'll give those away. But, we really want to hear from you right now to pledge your support to WKAR. I mean, we give these tickets away, and they're awfully expensive, and we just give them away to you for nothing. So we want you to just give us a little pledge. Send us a little pledge of support to WKAR. Once again, the number to call is 353-5000, 353-5000 to pledge your support. Now let's bring in our guests and talk a little high school sports with our good friend Jeff Kimberly. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Earl. How are you?
Hey, okay. And I read your email today. The playoffs will be starting pretty soon in all sports, and this is always a fun time of year once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, we're definitely down to the nitty-gritty. We had our first championships last week up in the Upper Peninsula, actually, our girls' tennis finals. And we move into regionals this week with golf and tennis. Football only has two more weeks in the regular season before we get to the playoffs there. Soccer districts begin Monday, so the flurry has certainly begun.
Yes. Now, how good has the boys' eight-man football been this year? I know this is the first year for that, so how good has that been?
Well, it's actually the second year that we've had a tournament.
Year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Last year, Carsonville Port Sanilac was our first MHSA eight-player champion, and it's grown a little bit. We're up to 27 schools that have teams active this year. A couple more tried, but didn't have enough athletes to get a team on the field. So we ended up with 27, which I think is – I think it's six or seven more than last year, if I remember right. It's been a great decision for some schools that have done it. Portland St. Patrick being a great example. They're 7-0. They've struggled. They've struggled the last decade, really, having enough players to compete. In that league with the likes of Pauma Australia and Langsburg, all these schools that are much larger. We have them with 104 students this year. And they've always had a good core group of athletes, just not maybe as many as a lot of the other 11-player teams they're facing. But for eight-player, just a few spots fewer on the field, it's just right. And they've had a great season, and this has been a great idea for them. There are a few others, too, that had not had success in years and years. And, eight-player has allowed them the opportunity to really, to rev things back up in their communities and get things going again.
Yes. Now, is that many of them in the Lower Peninsula that we have eight? I think most of them are in the UP, aren't they?
It's probably about 50-50, maybe 60-40. You know, while Portland St. Patrick is the only one, you know, around the Lansing area, Battle Creek St. Philip goes 8-player, and a number of schools in the Thumb go 8-player, to be honest. So we've got a few up there. I'm scrolling through the list as I'm talking to you, and you know, I can count what 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, we've got, it looks like 7 UP out of 27. Then we've got a handful more that are in the northern lower peninsula. So, yeah, if you go north of, say, Gaylord, you probably have about half of them. But they're definitely, it's a big deal in the Thumb. They actually have a couple leagues over there, so.
Okay. Now, what about soccer? I mean, I know soccer, we've been talking about it year in and year out every year. Soccer is finally growing. It looks like it's really getting a nice growth spurt. So how has soccer been this year?
You know, I mean, soccer is definitely has a very sturdy spot, you know, especially when you consider that it is going up against football. You know, a lot of these schools that are good in soccer are very good in both of those sports in the fall. You know, especially around here, we have a number of teams that are ranked. Okemos is ranked in Division 1. East Lansing, Mason, Hazlett, DeWitt have all been ranked in Division 2. You know, Lansing Catholic and Williamston have had its moments in Division 3. And Lansing Christian actually is ranked number 1 in Division 4. So, you know, this has always been a soccer area around mid-Michigan.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at these schools that are strong in soccer, and there are a lot of them that are, you know, pretty decent in football as well. So, you know, and especially in a year of World Cup qualifying and things like that, I think there's a little bit more excitement around it too. And I think, you know, a lot of coaches feel like maybe they get a little bit of a bump, especially considering, you know, this is the first year that the U.S., you know, Training Academy has taken a number of strong players from Michigan and made it so that they cannot play in high school. And you know, it's still thriving. It's just other athletes are getting a chance, I guess.
Yeah, which is definitely good. Now, sometimes I get confused with golf. Do we have girls golf in the fall, or is that in the spring?
No, we definitely have girls in the fall.
Okay.
That was one of the switches that came with the lawsuit a few years ago. And that's, you know, that gets rolling here pretty soon as well. You know, Lansing Catholic,
yeah,
for example,
they've been dominant.
Well, they've been incredible, going for their third straight Division IV championship with three girls that have been on those first two teams, Jacqueline Settis and Danny Crilly and Janie Finice. I hope I'm saying her last name right. I think I am. They've been on the first two as well. And actually, for their league tournament last week, they shot their lowest score of the season, a 305, at Wheatfield Valley. And they had to bring up their top JV player because their number 4 got sick that day, and their 4, 5, and 6 actually shot their lowest scores of the year. So they keep churning it out, and Settis is certainly one of the best players in the state. We had something on our second half website about her. It's the main story up there right now. I talked to her last week, and she's an incredible player, and they've played most of the best teams in the state, regardless of division, this year, and they've held their own. Plymouth in Division One, the Division One top-ranked team, is really the only school that's been able to beat them. You know, I think they've beaten them 2 out of 3 times. So, Lansing Catholic, as long as they do what they can, they can make this 3 in a row.
Wow, that would be very impressive. I'll tell you, another team I'm very impressed with this year has been Lansing Everett. I mean, as you know, Jeff, because you were here, they couldn't win a game 2 years ago, went 0-10 or 0-10, how many ever lost, and now this year to be undefeated, you know, in already in the playoffs for sure. But that's been a remarkable turnaround, what Marcel Carruthers has done with that team.
It has, and it's been fun to watch because a lot of those athletes, you know, were on varsity 2 years ago, whether as freshmen or as sophomores. That team has not changed a whole lot since 2010, and I saw Marcel yesterday because we had a sportsmanship summit at the Lansing-Lexington, and Everett was among the area schools represented. And, you know, it's just great to see him having something like this to celebrate. You know, they can clinch a share of the league title against Sexton on Friday. And, you know, despite the success they had in the middle of the last decade with Mike Canfield and Reggie Williams and those guys, they never won a league title. They always finished second in those strong years. So, if they can pull this one off, if they can win either this Friday against Sexton or next Friday, and I'm not even sure who they finish with, they will have a league championship for the first time since 1986, if you can believe that. So, you know, it's exciting. They have two running backs. They have a quarterback who's great, Lucas Barner. Shadil Kansi is going to Cincinnati, and he's obviously outstanding. They have another, their tailback, and I can't remember his first name. His last name is Cambrick.
Cambrick.
Yes, they feel very good about him. Marcel believes he is, you know, one of the elite in this area at his spot. And really, and the player I keep telling everyone to watch, because you see the other, those three names, you think those are the guys. James Mills has been their starting, basically, middle linebacker for the last 3 years. You know, that defense revolves around him, and he's outstanding, and he's also their fullback. And I think he plays a little bit of tight end, and I think he comes down to the defensive end sometimes. He does a lot of different things, and he's pretty fantastic. He's just another one of a strong group of juniors and seniors they have on that team.
Yes, I mean, that impressed me so much, that defensive play of theirs. I was at that game against East Lansing, which they won 6-0 and shut East Lansing out. I mean, boy, that team, defensively, you have to be impressed with that. I mean, to come from where they came from, and as Marcel told me after that, you know, they've worked so hard. You have to take your hat off to the players who did all this hard work to make this team successful.
Well, and to shut down a team like that, you know, with Javon Haynes, we know, is a very good, just a speedy, talented offensive playmaker. They have a couple other guys in East Lansing that can make some plays. So to shut them out is a big deal. The way they beat Grand Ledge, I love. That was incredible. To go for two in the players wanted to run power. I mean, Everett's fast. They're not big.
Yeah.
But they wanted to run the ball at Grand Ledge, the school that, along with Holt, you know, has that reputation as being, you know, filled with big guys.
Yep.
They wanted to run, and they ran, and they won. And I think that's just incredible. It shows a lot about their character, too.
It does. I mean, that is one of the best teams in the area. I mean, we talk about years and years, but that, to me, is definitely one of the best teams in the area that we've seen in a long time. I mean, Lansing Catholic's been a very good team, but to come from where they came from to where they are now, that's a phenomenal story.
Well, and that's what makes it fun, and that's mm-hmm. why we really celebrated Lansing Catholic last year, too, because, mm-hmm. you know, they had their struggles, and they finally, you know, got to a great spot, and look what they did last week against Portland. I don't think a lot of people gave Lansing Catholic a chance in that game, and they won big. So, you know, they've graduated a lot of those guys from the last 2 years, but they're still there.
Yes, Jim Ahern has done a great job there, just like Marcel Carruthers at Everett. We've got some really good coaches in the mid-Michigan area.
Well, we do, and you know, Jim, a lot of guys down here, the coaches for sure knew who he was. He was up at Ithaca forever, and they certainly knew him. Maybe fans didn't as much because they probably didn't pay as much attention to Ithaca, you know, just because it's so far on the northern end of what we consider, you know, the mid-Michigan area. But, you know, he's obviously kind of an offensive genius. I mean, the guy has actually written a book about how to run a spread offense. He wrote it a few years ago, and he's very good. You know, and one of his proteges, Terry Hesbrook, is running Ithaca now, and they haven't lost in 35 games or whatever. So something that they figured out is certainly working.
Oh, that's for sure. Hey, we haven't talked much, but let's talk a little bit about it now, is cross country. You know, that's one of the sports that, you know, if you have a few fast players, very rarely do you see somebody come out of nowhere and win a cross country championship, do you?
No, because you really have to have some depth there. Everybody can have a couple individuals, and mid-Michigan has certainly had great individuals over the last few years. You know, but cross country is one of those where if you have, you know, maybe two or three really strong runners, you can have a team. I think it was the East Grand Rapids girls won Division I last year. No one finished higher than, I think, 10th, but because they had five girls that were very good and all, you know, in that same sort of time frame there, they were able to win the championship in the division with the biggest schools in the state. So, you know, it really is a sport like that. That's why you always see Lansing Catholic do well. You know, granted, they had Zach Zingsheim last year and his teammate Hicks, and they were both very fast. But, you know, generally they're very balanced both on the boys and the girls side. That's why they always do so well. You know, Puan Westphalia is like that too. Puan Westphalia is considered, you know, they were ranked number one in boys Division Four up until this past week. They always have, you know, just some good depth. You know, which is what makes the difference in that sport. East Lansing is like that too. East Lansing is ranked in Division One, the girls, and it's not that they have anybody who might win the individual race in Division One, but they have a bunch of girls that will be in that top 40, top 50, that will help them to score well.
Yes, sir. Overall, before I let you go, how does Mid-Michigan stack up in most sports? I've always thought this Mid-Michigan area put up some very good athletes.
Well, you know, I think if you look in the fall, I think cross-country, this is a very strong area. I think you have a lot of very good coaches in cross-country. I think playmakers put so much into this being a running community, you know, that it has made a difference. I think running is a big deal around here, and I think that combination helps. Girls golf, we've had some very good golfers around here. Ellie Nichols at Okemos is outstanding. Peter Herr at Holt is outstanding. East Lansing has been good again, a few others. So, you know, I think girls golf, this is a good area. I think boys soccer, this is a good area. Boys tennis has had its moments, maybe not as tough this year, but still with Portland, with Lansing Catholic, Okemos, East Lansing, Williamston, they've been in the hunt. You know, those are the strong points. I think, you know, volleyball has been trying to push into that a little bit, and they're building. Football, you know, they still haven't had a champion come from the Lansing area since 2000, and I think that's what people measure. But you look at last year, the fact that there were four teams, you know, unless you count Ithaca, which I always counted Ithaca, Ithaca has won the last two. You know, a lot of people don't, but you can consider that Lansing Catholic, Fowler, PW, Ithaca were all at the finals last year. I think that said some good things. And I think even swimming, the Okemos girls in particular have had a couple the last 2 years, young. They were young, but they're getting much better, and you know, that might put them back on that map as well.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. As you know, I'll be calling you again, buddy.
Sure.
Talk a little bit more.
Always. Enjoy yourself.
Okay, thank you. Talk to you later, Jeff. Yep. Bye-bye. And that's Jeff Kimberly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Well, now I've got a lot of numbers to give you, so let me see if I can get it all straightened out. Now, if you want to give and pledge your support to WKAR, call us right now at 353-5000, area code 517-353-5000 to pledge your support to WKAR. Become a member of the WKAR family. We need new members, especially a lot of you that have never given before. We want you to become a new member. Now, if you've been an older member, as we say, you've given to WKAR before, we want you to renew that membership. So call and renew, or either call in and pledge your support, become a new member of WKAR. Once again, the number is 353-5000, area code 517. Now, if you want to register for a chance to win tickets to the Iowa game, Michigan State, Iowa, call 517-884-4870. That's 517-884-4870. Call to register your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State, Iowa game. So you can do that, do either well, but we want you to really call right now to pledge your support, WKAR. You know, we come your way only, we only ask for your help twice a year, in the fall and in the spring. We'll have another fundraiser. So why don't you give us a call right now, pledge your support, become a member of the family. So many of you have been listening for so many years. I know you get tired of me talking about it, so I'm going to try to get you get tired of me and just make a call. Say, I'm tired of bro talking about you. We need money and pledge your support. So shut me up. So call and pledge your support just to shut me up so I won't be talking about it. Once again, that's 353-5000. Area code 517. If you want a chance to win tickets to the Michigan State football game, call 884-4870. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. You've been listening to radio station WKAR in East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.